The president of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran has warned the B5+1 against violating the Iran nuclear deal. Ali Akbar Salehi says that the Islamic Republic has, quote, an amazing capability to roll back its nuclear energy program if the other side fails to live up to its commitments under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Salehi says that Iran has witnessed many contradictions in the comments made by Western governments over the past month. He also referred to the Iranian Parliament Speaker's comments about a possible violation of the JCPOA by the P5+1. Ali Rajani has demanded the Atomic Energy Organization draw up a plan to launch a nuclear enrichment facility to counter the U.S. obstacles in the way of the nuclear deal's implementation. Salehi stressed that Tehran has no plans to build a new facility and that Larijani means that the country should be ready to return its atomic program to the previous status. Dr. Kaveh Afriyasabi joins us. He's the author and political scientist who joins us from Boston. Dr. Afriyasabi, it's very hard to believe that there aren't specific clauses that are outlined in the JCPOA for any of the parties involved, that if it was violated, that they would have to bear, that it would bear some consequences. But we see violations taking place from the, in particular, it seems like the American side. So what can Iran do? I mean, what are the jurisdictions there that need to be followed, and what can be done in order for the parties who violated to be held accountable to it?
Well, first of all, this nuclear agreement is a truly complex agreement among several parties that requires critical scrutiny for its details to be deciphered properly. It calls for a joint commission to deal with the issues of non-fulfillment of obligations and disputes of this kind. And I'm not quite sure how active and instrumental this joint commission has been so far. My impression is that the commission operates more quietly than overtly. On the other hand, you are quite right. There is a mechanism in place for the UN's Atomic Agency to verify Iran's compliance, yet there is no parallel such mechanism for the other side, and that is a, I would say, a structural defect of the nuclear agreement that needs to be addressed perhaps through this joint commission or further meetings between Iran and the P5+1. What is clear at this point after 6 months of implementation of the nuclear agreement is, however, that, you know, it was supposed to be a win-win agreement, and yet at best it has turned into a half win for Iran, and there's a, you know, quite a bit of disparity in terms of the relative gain of both sides from this nuclear agreement. I compare it to a pie that, you know, some side, you know, the U.S. and its Western partners are taking like 70% of it, and Iran around 25 or 30%. That's not fair, and the other side has to address Iran's complaint and remedy the situation. Iran is locked out of the international financial situations, has limited access to its frozen funds, and so on. And we have seen, you know, all these hurdles with Iran's attempt to buy civilian airplanes from Boeing and Airbus, despite the fact that there are two specific areas in the nuclear agreement that permits the sale of commercial airplanes to Iran after the lifting of the sanctions. So, you know, there are all these complaints from Iran that the U.S. in particular has to listen to and address and remedy them.
And finally, quickly, you know, you have these provocations that are persistent prior and even after the signing of this nuclear deal. When it comes to, for example, Iran's missiles that they say can carry a nuclear warhead, or another provocation was the State Department report, for example, listing Iran as a top terror organization or supporter of terror organizations, and a whole variety of other things. Just keep poking Iran with this and highlighting it and putting that into the context of the JCPOA as if Iran is in one way or another perhaps violating this JCPOA. And yet they're the ones who are also guilty, not also, but they are the ones that are guilty when it comes, for example, like the business transaction that you said about Boeing. Is it because they want to create this Iranophobia so later on they can just perhaps renege on the deal?
I certainly hope not. And unfortunately, you have to add to that list the UN Secretary General, who has just issued a very biased and one-sided report that does not fully appreciate Iran's extraordinary efforts in compliance with all its nuclear obligations. And, you know, basically mirrors the U.S.'s complaint and acts as a spokesperson for them, and that's not the role of a U.N. Secretary General. On the other hand, you know, this is a long-term deal, and as I said, we're only 6 months into its implementation, and there are some mechanisms stated in the agreement that calls for occasional review and so on. And we have seen, for example, the Russian government rebuffing the U.S.'s accusation that Iran has violated the agreement through its missile test. And so these issues, I think, that should be brought up in the next meeting of Iran and the 5+1. And such a meeting is called for because of what you refer to as violations and non-compliance of some of the parties to this nuclear agreement, principally the United States.